Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business. Please visit them at mtnbusiness.co.za, and we thank them for their partnership with the show, which allows us to bring you these great interviews. And we have a great interview lined up next, a South African startup called VisoPay, which has developed a smart ring solution that is promising, among other things, to revolutionize the way people think about payments. So to discuss VisoPay, I'm joined in the studio today by the founder and director, Jake Pincus, and director, Lawrence Baker. Welcome to both of you, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Pleasure. Exciting to chat about this. You can look out for a detailed article on Tech Central about VisoPay by my colleague Tadek Sutovic, which we are publishing along with this podcast interview. So if you're keen for more details, do have a look at that article. Jake, let me start with you. How long have you guys been working on the VisoPay payment ring, and where did the idea come from?
Sure. Okay. So about 2.5 years we've been working on this. As you can imagine, working in the payment space is there's a lot of complexities and a lot of background things that you have to get done. The idea, it's quite an interesting story, how the idea came about. I used to travel quite a lot, and a lot of the destinations that I was traveling to were a lot of water activities. Mm-hmm. Getting in and out of boats and moving between different locations, and all the time, at some point, you need to make a payment. And there was no convenient way to make any payment. So sitting there, you know, getting in and out of boats, and you've got these dry bags, and you put your cell phone in, and you put your wallet inside and all your bank cards inside. And every time you get off the boat, you need to take it out. I was like, there's got to be a better way. Mm-hmm. And the one day I was at a breakfast bar that they have in the middle of the swimming pool at this hotel. And I couldn't take my phone with, I couldn't take, my wallet was in my pocket, and it was, all the money was getting damaged, and my money started floating out in the water there. And I thought to myself, there's got to be something better, you know, something that's way more convenient. And that's kind of what sparked the idea initially. And because I was involved in procurement and sourcing and developing products for other customers, I was like, I've got to put these skills to work and figure out a way to develop something that can solve this issue. And that idea just, it kept building and building and building. And eventually I thought to myself, what is the smallest, most convenient part of your body that you could wear something to pay? You know, that's your fingers. Like the smallest thing to really take it to the next level would be a ring. You know, a bracelet is like a watch. So like to start off something really big, I thought that's the next move. Mm-hmm. So I figured out how to procure all the elements and do the technology side of it and prototype it. And
are you a bit of a technologist by heart? At heart?
Yes, but I would say I'm not the most technologically advanced human in terms of, and that's actually why I brought Lawrence on board, because the hardware side I was very strong on, because that's what you do when you source components. Yeah. But there's a lot of software in the background of this to make it work. Mm-hmm. And that's when I approached Lawrence. Actually, I approached a few people before him, and every single person I approached said to me, impossible, don't even bother, don't get involved in the payment space in South Africa, it's impossible, like only big companies can do it, and you got to be a bank or something. This is what everyone told me, and I was like, because it's impossible, that's why you got to do it.
Yeah.
Because no one's going to challenge you, surely. Like, if you solve that, it's going to be big.
So how did you guys meet, Lawrence?
Oh, how did we meet? so actually, Jake's family, basically, he's currently dating my sister, my younger sister.
Okay.
So we never met on the best terms, but we slowly came to see eye to eye, especially when it came to technology and business and that kind of thing. So when Jake did come to me with the idea, he said, you understand, you know, software, I'm trying to do this. And within about a minute, I said, okay, cool, we start today, let's go. Mm-hmm. And about
like
6 months after that point, we made our first payment in South Africa.
It was literally just like that.
Yeah.
I got impossible.
Let's do it.
And I was like, but it's got to be possible. Like the base round there is there. Like I figured out the basics of it. And he was like, yes, done. And he saw the vision straight away. It's amazing, some people can see it and some people don't see it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Most people don't see it in the beginning.
But Lawrence, you've got a technology background, right? You've got a couple of startups under your belt already.
Yeah, well, not a couple, just one.
Sailboat.
Sailboat. Been on the channel before. The Sailboat's company, software-based, 31 countries now and growing strong. Basically self-sustainable at this point because of our staff and how good they all are. And it gives me a bit of time to step away and do some other exciting things in different spaces. Obviously when we started out Viso, we started a little bit differently and with a different mindset this could be absolutely huge, but not just in terms of financials, but in terms of changing the way people act and interact, and that was the key for me how we could actually make something worth making. That's the key.
Right. I actually want to cut away to a promotional video that you guys have put together just to demonstrate the technology and how it works, just to give our viewers an idea of the tech. And sorry to the guys who are listening to the audio version of the podcast, but have a look at this video and he'll give you a good idea before we continue with the conversation. So there we go. Interesting technology, guys. Jake, how much R&D was involved in developing this ring?
In terms of, as you can understand, it's taken 2.5 years. Most of that was R&D. So if you're talking about time, a hell of a lot of time. If you're talking about resources, we have 3 investors who obviously helped us kickstart the journey because it required lots of sampling and lots of rounds of, making the first prototypes work. Mm-hmm. And you're working with big companies because the certain elements that go in there have to be certified. So it's not like you can just pick up the phone and phone them and say, I want to do this. You need to be able to get a hold of these high level companies that won't talk to you because you're a startup. Yep. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
So did the investor, you've got some big name investors behind you. I'm not sure if you're able to disclose.
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm. One of them is the South African CEO of Naspers.
Yes. She's
phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
She's the best.
Not only on obviously being an investor, but also, to advise us and help us. She's got a brilliant mind. She's been involved in a lot of big companies. Naspers is one of the biggest companies
in the world.
Yes. Not only in South Africa. And same thing. We told them our vision. We had a few meetings with them and it was very quick. They saw it so quickly and we're like, let's do this thing.
So she invested, it's Puti, sorry, I've written her name down. It's Puti Mahanyala. She invested in her personal capacity or was it Naspers invested?
Personal capacity.
Personal capacity, okay.
Yeah, not Naspers themselves. They don't look at anything under, I think, $20 million, something like that. Don't quote me, but that was the,
But now they'll hear about us.
Yeah, they'll.
Hey, Naspers.
Give us another 6 months.
Right. Okay, so you've got the financial backing. It's unusual for a South African startup to look at a consumer electronics product. Have you run into challenges in developing a consumer electronics product from the tip of Africa? How difficult has it been?
Well, no one generally takes South Africans seriously as the Silicon Valley type entrepreneurs. But actually, half of the great ideas coming into Silicon Valley now are coming from outside of Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And South Africa is definitely getting better known for their technology and their ideas and their hardworking people. So yes, it is difficult, especially dealing with the big international companies, that are all American based and they really they really look down on anywhere outside of America and Dubai. For some reason, Dubai is a hub now for a lot of this tech. But as South Africans, we have faced a lot of, you know, prejudice, I would say, and the rand definitely doesn't help. That weaker rand, you know, when everything's in euros and dollars, it gets very expensive to build this kind of tech. But yeah, ultimately, I think it also helps us being South African, because we know that nothing's going to be done for us. We have to fight for every inch, and that kind of mentality is why we get far when we try to do something. Mm-hmm. We know how hard it's going to be, and we know we're not afraid of hard work. And I think that's a South African trait from beginning to end. They work hard, and that's the key.
Yeah. And the technology is ready, right? You've built it. It's ready for. It's in production, is it?
It's yes. It's ready to sell to the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a few steps in terms of onboarding banks, but we do believe they will come on board.
I was going to ask: would you work through the banks, or would you work through companies like MasterCard and Visa?
So I think it's better to explain how the technology works to answer that question.
Yeah, let's do that.
And it also might answer some of the challenges that we had to overcome. So when we initially started on this journey, when you're in the payment space, you think to yourself, like, how do you generate revenue from this business? And initially, we thought, well, sell the devices at a really, really cheap price and make money on the transactions. And any bank person who's watching this will laugh at us and say, everybody thinks like that's the way to go. Or have some wallet and make some money in the wallet. But in the end of the day, that's very complicated to get right because you need bins, you need sponsorship from banks, or you need to be a bank.
Yeah.
And we had to figure out a way to provide this technology that's free for the bank to come on board because they need to be involved, as well as free for the end user to continue using their bank credentials the way they've been using it. When they tap on the terminal, it's the pet peeve of the payment world. Nobody should charge the user, charge the merchant. You know, charge the shop, don't charge the guy who's going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
He's the little guy. So we thought to ourselves, how do we solve that? And that's how our technology actually works. Essentially, we're able to issue tokens, which is an encrypted version of someone's credentials. We assign that token to their bank credentials onto our device. And because it's tokenized, it's even more secure than carrying around your bank card.
Mm-hmm.
What that means is that their credentials are not actually stored physically on the ring. A token is stored on the ring and issued on behalf of their credentials. So even if you lose this, or someone tries to skim it, they can't actually receive your bank credentials. Whereas if I leave a bank card, you know, on the table, and someone wants to just even read my credentials on the bank card, they can read my card number, my CVV, and my personal details. Can't do that on the ring. And then on top of that, if I want to skim the chip, I can put it into a device and I can read the data off the chip and get your actual banking credentials that you use to pay. So if you try to do that in here, you just get a random string of encrypted numbers that mean nothing. So our technology is free for the bank to use. If we onboard a bank, their users can buy our technology and use their bank cards on our rings. We're not issuing any new cards. We're not making anything in the transaction. It's totally free for the user to use. It's somewhere in the likes of a Google Pay or Samsung Pay.
Understood.
It's something like that technology, but different because there's no battery inside here. There's no power inside this ring.
There's no battery in the ring.
There's no battery in the ring.
How does it work then?
That's the magic. it's an NFC power chip.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tap your finger to the terminal, the terminal charges the ring just for that moment that it allows it to pass the important data that is required, and then the rest goes online. So it doesn't require any battery inside here, which is obviously a major convenience point of what we believe the product's about. Never have to charge it. Never have to look at it. There's no screen time. It just works.
So how does that energy transference actually work? I'm struggling to understand the concept.
So electromagnetic waves.
Right.
So the terminal itself generates electricity. It's got a battery. It generates electromagnetic waves around the NFC reader on the device.
Mm-hmm.
So as you come within that electromagnetic wave that power source, within 3 centimeters of the terminal, the electromagnetic waves travel through the ring and run through a special antenna and power this chip with those waves. So it's not a it's wow. not yeah it's
not very low power.
Very low power. Yeah. So it already exists technology like this in your bank card right now. So that tap that you do, it's the exact same concept,
right?
But that's not a tokenized version.
Yeah.
So this obviously not a wearable version.
And it's a card's bigger.
Yeah, much bigger.
So the chip is bigger. So the chip in a card is much bigger, and then there's actually an antenna inside the card, so it's got a bigger surface area to receive what Lawrence was talking about. That's part of one of those challenges you asked about, is how do you power such a small thing, and how do you fit a chip small enough in there that can receive the power and have all the software on it to do what it needs to do?
The terminal powers the chip.
Yes.
The chip then gets asked by the terminal for a token.
Yeah.
And then the chip's basically the main job of the chip is to say, this is my token.
Mm-hmm.
And the machine already, whether you use your card, your phone, whatever, the machine does the rest, because the machine now goes into bank server and says, who is this? Who's this token belong to? Which bank? And then and so on and so forth. So yeah, it's pretty straightforward actually, if you think of it that way.
Fascinating.
So from that point on, it's acting like a bank. Once it goes offline, then it does what a bank card does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is that's where our interaction ends.
And we should say that it is your bank card. So you have a bank card. You basically place that bank card's information into this chip, into this ring, and this ring will act as your bank card. So there is no distinction between this ring and your bank card at that point. It just acts with all the security, with everything you've got, your limits, your everything. It is just your bank card in a more secure fashion on your body.
Interesting.
And security is a big question that we get often.
Yeah.
It is.
The other interesting question I need to ask is, obviously people are going to be putting these rings on and they're going to be doing things like going surfing and hiking and climbing mountains and all sorts of things.
Yes.
How susceptible is this to damage from water, for example?
Completely impenetrable.
Completely impenetrable.
So not susceptible, completely the opposite.
Right.
So we have various materials that we can work with. Part of some of the other complexities, which we can also talk about. So this original design here, is ceramic.
Mm-hmm.
It's Zycronia ceramic. So you can drop this. It's completely sealed, and it's sealed with special resin, so there's no ways that any sort of liquid can get inside. And I mean, I've swam with this. We've put it to the paces. We've dropped it. We've thrown it. It's pretty rugged. It's very light as well. And the technology, again, in there, there's no battery or anything to really get damaged. And there are other materials that we work with in terms of... The hard part is metal blocks... NFC or electromagnetic waves. And we've actually got rings now that we're making out of gold and silver, titanium at a later stage, not right now. And that was also a challenge, how to overcome that.
How did you overcome that?
Secret.
That one's a bit more proprietary.
Okay. Don't give away all your secrets.
But yeah, so absolutely. So it is waterproof, it is dustproof, it is dropproof, it is hypoallergenic. I'd say the hygiene factors for a wearable is that if you have to take it off when you swim or surf or whatever, then we've already lost our first battle.
Yeah. All right, just take us through the options and the versions you're going to have available. You've mentioned gold and silver and ceramic.
Yeah.
What materials are going to be on offer? Are you going to have different colors?
Yes.
How many products are going to be available at launch?
So at launch, we're going to have three main variants of the ring. The Visa X ring, which is what Jake's wearing now.
Which also has three colors.
I was going to get there.
What colors are those?
So this there's the black, the black there's the white, and there's pink.
Okay.
And we're going to have a matte and a gloss. So the interesting, I never thought about this, but we've heard from people that have tested our product. Some people are worried about the glossy, you know, because glossy products, you know, get fingerprints and you got to wipe it and keep it clean. Never thought about that to me. I was like, oh, that's a good point. So we also have a matte version, which kind of looks more frosted, I would say.
Yeah.
To explain
it. Right. So that's the gloss version. The matte version is a matte version of that. It also comes in slimline.
Okay.
Not as thick. 5mm and 7. And then, of course, we've got our silver pieces, which is part of our classic range. They all come in slim. They are real silver, and they are a little bit thinner than that ring there, and they are very, very pretty, and probably my favorite of the ranges. And then we get our signature range, which is where you can really add some individuality to it. If you really want your own personal gold payment ring, mm-hmm. then that is where the signature range comes in. So you can have from plated to 18 karat gold.
Wow.
There will be options in the future to add stones, diamonds, rubies, whatever you feel like adding to it as well. Mm. But at this point, just a straightforward gold, 18-karat gold ring, if you would like to
yellow
propose with
rose.
One. You can basically propose with it and give away your credit card at the same time.
Very dangerous.
That's really giving away, your heart
worth
there.
Much more than a diamond.
Depends how much money is on your account.
So it's a diamond a month at least.
So I imagine then that there's going to be a wide range of price points for the product. Are you able to disclose pricing at this point?
We can say like froms, because each one is slightly different. As you change, there's a lot of add-ons to how you pick your ring.
Yep.
Sure.
So the rings are customizable. That's the key.
Yeah.
Is that it's all about the individuality and choosing one that suits you. So you can from about 2,500 rand, you can have a basic X ring, which has all the functionality of the top 18-karat gold one, but it's what suits you.
Yeah.
Then you can have that in a slimmer version, add a little bit there because of the complexities of having that chip in an even smaller space now. And then obviously you can have different colors, you can have the matte and gloss finish. That all adjusts the price very slightly.
Mm-hmm. And obviously on the gold, it's the same. Like it ranges from plated to 18-karat, like 18-karat of actual real gold. Just to buy the gold is you know, got a high value.
Mm-hmm. So basically, if you had a range of prices, it would be from, let's say, 2,500 rand to about 35,000 rand mm-hmm. for the top, you know, gold, you know, 18-karat. And that's obviously, there's a high end there where, you know, very few people can get to easily, but a lot of people are very willing to. Whereas, you know, for the people who just want the tech and want something seamless in their lives, you know, 2,500 rand, it's right within the affordability spectrum of most tech happy people who want something to break them.
And also, because you know, obviously, like you said, there's a lot of R&D that goes into these products, and we want our customers to know that these are fully accredited, extremely secure products.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was, you know, a 50 rand ring, would you believe that really could do that? So obviously, to make it do what it does, it had to go through all of that.
Yeah,
so all the accreditations, I mean, it takes months and even years to actually get that right. So each component has to be accredited by various organizations, including Visa and MasterCard, the EMV Co accreditation. So that accreditation is one of the most important for our devices.
And costly, I'm sure.
Very costly, and in euros.
And every size, every material, every iteration has to be accredited.
Yeah. That's right. So the gold one has its own accreditation. The ceramic one has its own accreditation. They have their own. Yeah, it's quite a journey.
Yeah.
And but we don't you know, as South Africans especially, we understand security risks, I think, better than most Europeans and so on. And we understand how the security factor of what we're building is actually probably at the pinnacle of what we're doing. The primary focus is it secure? Yes. Okay, then does it make my life more convenient? Absolutely. That's how we've approached it.
Jake, what's the go-to-market strategy here? I imagine you could either sell this direct, you could sell it through traditional jewelry-type stores, or you could sell it through tech stores. Which route are you going?
Direct to customer.
Direct to
the end customer. Mm-hmm. I would say that eventually we plan for this to be a mass-market product.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beginning, we are appealing to those who really are into convenience, which pretty much is everybody. But obviously, also because of the price points, we do understand we're targeting, you know, certain demographics.
And maybe slightly tech-savvier audience as well, initially.
Tech-savvier audiences, and like somebody wants to spend 30,000 rand on a gold ring is a very specific type of person.
Yeah.
But, you know, we want to launch it in a premium way and at a later stage make it accessible to absolutely everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So our go-to-market strategy, you know, everybody thinks, this has been my personal experience, let's launch a product that we're going to sell 100 million to absolutely everybody. You know, before you launch to 100 million people, make sure you can get it right for the initial users, the premium people that buy it first.
Mm-hmm.
So our go-to-market strategy is to target those people first, and then from that point to move to the mass market.
Mm-hmm.
And do you see an opportunity eventually to sell the rings through the banks or possibly even through the cellular networks?
I mean, that could happen off the bat. Mm. So if a bank...
If the banks are watching and you would like your own customized version of this wearable, we can do that.
Okay. Because I imagine it would be a unique selling proposition for a bank. You know, come and sign up for a suite of products with X Bank and we'll give you a subsidized ring.
For 100%. Sure. So we do offer that. And even for wearable companies, if you're thinking about making your own wearable and you want to make something that no one's thought of yet, we can help you do that. Because we've basically, in doing all our R&D, we basically bridged all the gaps between the technology and the software and how it all works together. So that was wasn't the goal initially, but now we can basically say, if you're a wearable company and you want to launch, we can enable you. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be just in South Africa either. Mm-hmm. Anywhere practically. And that's I think it's become one of our goals is opening up this market in some way to make it more accessible because I'm sure you've heard the saying, unbanked, unbank the banked and all of that kind of thing. That's not really our goal. I think it's a craze that's going on right now and everyone's trying to be that. Not a bank, but we're not trying to do that. We're saying the banks are actually very good at being banks. We just need to help them with innovative technology so that they don't have to, have to manage innovation and their, what they go through every day, what they actually deal with the banks is very intense. So, leave the innovating to the innovative smaller companies, let the banks be the banks.
And what is the reaction? You've been having conversations with some of the banks already. What has the feedback been?
First, it's like, how the hell did you do this?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's like, how did you do this? And then the next reaction is always about security. Banks are very focused on how secure is this, which is great. And luckily, we have all of that in place. And we can answer all those questions. And we have, from PCI DSS compliance to the EMV Co compliance. And then obviously, as it stands, we haven't approached all banks yet. Mm-hmm. We've been selective on the banks we've approached. We're only planning to launch now. So the reaction, I would say, has been good. I mean,
well, it's been exceptionally positive. They definitely want these for their customers. Some of the banks are potentially looking at having their own versions already. But I think for the most part, they're just very keen to get on board. And allow their customers to have these devices. I think some of the banks would need a bit more of a push because they're busy. They're busy people. They've got a lot on their plate.
Yeah.
So to actually start the application to get this down the line is a little bit of work on their part, but it is free, and that's important. So we don't charge the banks to get onto our platform. It's completely free for them.
Right. Right. Well, we'll keep an eye as Tech Central on the arrangements of the banks, which would be really interesting to see who comes to market first.
Yes.
So keep an eye on Tech Central for that story. But
we should have a poll. People can vote.
But okay. So this is a payment ring. You're working with the banks, but because it's got NFC in it, I presume it could potentially be used for other applications as well, like concerts, ticketing, and all that sort of thing.
We actually had a very good conversation a while ago with Howler. If they're listening. So it can be used in various other applications. Not the initial round that we launch, we won't have that available to our end customer.
It's currently in beta testing.
But we can offer it as custom solutions to other companies looking to offer this to their customers. Access control, opening your car door. We've already got an integration with Tesla. Not that it's important for the South African market. It's just that they were the first company to have the right APIs and things to integrate into, and they are a very forward-thinking company.
Yeah.
So if there are any other car manufacturer companies out there?
Well, yeah, no, we're not looking for that right now, but if you would like to talk, we're always happy to.
Especially Ferrari.
So all of your access control, again, make your life convenient. So the access control side of things, your gym tag, your complex, your tag to get into your complex, your tag to get into your office, all can be on the same place, including your payment card.
And so what about trains? Caltrain, would it work with Caltrain?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oyster transport.
Card, if you're traveling to the UK, you can put your Forex card on and your Oyster card and use them.
And rewards programs and things like that can work on our ring as well. Again, not integrated yet, but something we're looking at in the future.
Yeah. So at the moment, you can put a payment card and you can put something like an Oyster card on as it stands.
Wow.
But...
you know, so it's kind of programmable by the end user, is it?
It is. But at the moment, we're only releasing payment card functionality out into the public, mm-hmm. just so that we, you know,
just don't want to rush too quickly.
Yeah, we don't want to give too much too fast. And then what are we, a payment company or a, you know?
But in the end of the day, it was something we discussed also when we were coming up with the concept was, is it a bigger pet peeve in South Africa to use it for transport or to use it for something like payments? Mm-hmm. Payments is every day. We do this every day, and it's something that really solves something that's inconvenient at times mm-hmm. when it's not working or you're in a queue and you're rushed. This is really convenient. You know, having to charge another device, it's just more inconvenient for you. So this is now going to the simplicity of convenience for the end customer. And it was way harder to build. If we wanted to launch an access control, that could have been like the easiest thing to start on. But I don't think many people would be like, this is solving a huge issue for them in their lives overseas. Mm-hmm. You know, where, like you said, with Oyster Card and using trains and things like that, where it's an everyday thing for you all the time, often on trains, that's probably a big pet peeve to somebody overseas. Mm-hmm. So for our market share in South Africa, payments is probably the biggest selling point. Mm-hmm. So we had to launch on that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most difficult first. If you're going to eat, if your job's to eat big frogs, then start with the biggest. I don't know. That's the saying someone says.
Lawrence Baker.
So I must ask about Samsung, because they earlier this year pre-launched some sort of smart ring.
Yes.
And Apple is rumored to possibly launching
it's the future.
Something, maybe even in September when it announces the iPhone 16. So the market could suddenly get quite crowded later this year.
No, it's going to be great for it.
It's great. This is good news. You should not worry about this competition.
So no, because it means that it is the future mm-hmm. and we're riding a wave of something that is going to be big and important to people. So we've all got cell phones mm-hmm. and cell phones have pretty much come as far as they can really go. What more can they do? They've made them bigger. They've made them smaller. Like, there's not much more they can do. They can make it slightly faster, but it's a full computer in your pocket.
Yeah.
How much more can we take it? So I think even the cell phone companies know the next step is wearables, because it's the only next step before we have no technology and we're just using our body to do the things we want it to do, Neuralink and things like that. Mm. So,
So the rings that they're launching are going to be focused on health.
Health.
The health rings they're launching, similar to Aura. Shout out to Aura. They're a great company.
Also powered by battery.
Yeah, they are, of course, powered by battery.
Okay.
Yeah, they will need to be charged. They will need to be, and their focus is health. So
they'll be thicker as well, I presume.
They are a bit thicker. We do actually have a concept for a health ring as well.
Yeah.
The health benefits of a ring versus a watch. So basically, it's better at monitoring your sleep. It's better at monitoring your heart rate and your oxygen saturation. Much, much better than a smartwatch.
Interesting.
Is. So that's actually their agenda is for the health side. Uh-huh. Also, I don't know if you've ever slept with a watch on to try and monitor your sleep. It is very uncomfortable. Whereas if you had a ring on, you probably wouldn't even notice. That's the direction they're heading.
But again, it comes back to the same thing for us, because we were developing a prototype just to see how it works, and we were able to build a successful prototype. It's battery powered, but it goes back to the same core of what we don't want to achieve now, which is the simplicity of targeting a super big pain point, pain point. But the Aura ring is a great product, but to us, they're not solving a pain point. They're providing another product that exists in maybe a better format or a different format. So just like you have a smartwatch that can, as Lawrence is explaining, track all your health functionality and all of that, the ring's doing the same thing, just in a different way, the health ring. Whereas when we get this question often, you know, why a payment ring versus a watch? Why if I want to wear a payment watch that's a smartwatch, why would I want to wear the ring? And for us, it's not one versus the other. It's because one is convenient in a totally different way.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to charge it, so you don't have to power it, and it will come in a situation, and it's happened to me, where all your devices have died, and you didn't have your wallet on you, or your card wasn't working, and you are now stuck, unable to make a payment somewhere. Well, guess what? You can. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very convenient.
So ultimately, the studies have shown, this is a MasterCard study, that when presented with every payment option if someone in public goes out with a phone, with a smartwatch, with a wallet, with full of credit cards and so on, and a payment wearable. 9 out of 10 payments, they'll use their payment wearable.
The passive payment wearable. Because
it's like electricity. It always follows the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And that's human nature.
Yeah.
Use what's simplest and easiest and quickest. And that's what we've built.
Okay. Launching in South Africa, do you have plans to... I mean, this must have a universal application.
Yes.
What are your plans for going international with it?
Definitely, it would be in something we would like to do. South Africa doesn't have anything like this right now. So obviously, and we're from South Africa and we're passionate about doing, you know, things in our own country.
Sure.
Of course, there are other countries that haven't got any payment wearables like this that we would like to look at. But I would say that's like phase 15.
Yeah, we've got so much to do and we can only do so much. But ultimately, you know, start at home. We know that this is going to be great for the market. There are other countries that we'd like to get into, and we'll start those conversations as soon as possible. If there are banks overseas that contact us first, then we'd be very happy to help them.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, you know, we have a good relationship with the South African banks as it stands. And we are South African. I'm both born and bred South African. So
you understand what your people are looking for, and you understand what the banks here are doing. So, you know, in places like America, their banking system is totally
different
to here. I mean, I've heard, I can't confirm this is true, but I've heard there are still certain banks that you can't do wireless transfer from bank to bank.
Mm.
And we've had that for years. Yeah, and security. EFTs.
PIN and chip and PIN is brand new to them. It's only been there for a few years.
Yeah.
It's just they're in the stone age of banking.
They still use checks in America.
They do.
Yeah. So it's, but like Americans understand that, and you know, maybe at a later stage we could look at it, but we would have to really understand those nuances.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So maybe expanding to markets that are more similar to ours, like the UK, possibly.
So these do actually exist in the EU, which is also a good point for us, because the first thing you do when you come up with an idea to develop a business is you go and see, actually, has somebody else invented this, so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first came out with the idea, there wasn't really much out. There was one company, talks of it, that they were looking to launch in the UK. And before that, they had started on access control in their ring. But it's not a big thing, like I said, because access control is not the biggest pain point. So maybe you could sell it to like corporate companies, to sell it to the individual wouldn't really work. And as we were developing, they started developing in their ecosystems. So in the EU, it is now pretty well used, especially in the UK. A lot of that is because of the public transport, because of that needing to be really quick and pull your hand out and pay without having to worry about moving into your pockets and carrying things and moving between trains and meetings.
Mm-hmm.
So would we enter into the EU? Not right now. I don't think it makes sense for us to do that.
Yeah. So it exists in certain countries in the EU. Certain countries don't even have it yet. We might approach those countries later down the line, but definitely not, you know, before we've got our hold in South Africa, because I think South Africans need this more right now.
Yeah.
So you know that's. But yeah, we can expand and we can technically launch in the EU faster than we can in South Africa.
We can do that tomorrow
because we already have over 30 banks on board in the EU because of our group, our technology group. So technically, we could launch in the EU faster than South Africa, but we want to launch in South Africa. We want these rings because we want one for ourselves.
We want to use them.
We want to use them ourselves. And that's why we started this whole thing.
Great. So when can I buy one?
Tomorrow. But it might not work right now.
You need the bank to be on board.
We need to onboard banks. So our technology works out. Everything is there in the back end. And we are currently in talks with some banks, which we can't disclose right now.
Sure.
But
it's a matter of weeks, we should have some news on that, right?
We should have at least one bank on in the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One big South African bank. If you don't have an account there, then you can just open one, like a credit card account with them, and then tokenize that onto your device.
And of course, we are looking to onboard all major banks in South Africa. At later stages, we will also look at other integrations.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, key focus is, hello banks, come on board. And get this to our end consumers.
But if you want to buy one now, you can go reserve yours on our website.
What is your website address?
It is visopay.com.
Mm-hmm.
Go onto there, check out the different devices we have, choose which one you like, tell us, you know, fill out the form, tell us which bank you're with. Mm-hmm. We'll give you your price point, we'll give you all of that information, and then when it's ready, we'll get hold of you and say, your ring is we're going to launch, here's your ring, come in, it's on its way.
Well, it's really fantastic to see innovation like this coming out of South Africa. I wish you both the best of luck in this business and developing it. And we look forward to seeing exactly which banks come on board and what take up is. Jake Pincus and Lawrence Baker are directors of VisoPay. Thank you so much for coming into the studio and sharing your insights with Tech Central today. Much appreciated.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.